You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN on a Thursday evening here in New York. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
There's something going on outside my house, and I don't know what it
really?
Is.
Really?
Yeah, sounds like a tractor pull.
I didn't think about the meaning of that, but it's special. What really did it seem like was going on there, Michael?
I really don't know. I never got up to look. It sounded like a tractor pull.
Do you think it actually was a tractor pull in
no,
retrospect?
You're, by the way, you're pulling ahead. Actually moving closer to Don.
No.
Yeah.
What's the score?
Well, you're now 5 percentage points ahead of me. And you have...
Listen. What's the totals?
Don has 43%. You closed at 31%, so 12 behind him. And I'm 26%.
No, he's at 43?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are 6,600 votes cast. 58 minutes left in the voting.
And you're at what?
26%. Do you have to hear it again?
Sorry. It's sad to hear.
Yeah.
Sorry. So the article has dropped. Rumors swirling. And now the story in the Washington Post is out. The Washington football team hired a law firm to conduct an internal review. According to Adam Schefter, they hired attorney Beth Wilkinson of Wilkinson Walsh LLP to review everything going on. Here, I'll read you a story right now, a little piece of it. At the 2019 Combine, Rhiannon Walker, new to the Redskins beat for The Athletic, arrived at Prime 47 to learn that Santos, the club's scouting director, had been asking her reporting colleagues if they thought she might be interested in him, she said in a phone interview this week. They tried to discourage him. Outside of the ethical concerns, Walker said, her colleagues knew she was in a committed relationship and wouldn't ever date a married man. But Santos was undeterred. She said she was told upon arriving. Santos approached, she said, and the conversation started innocently. He showed her photos of his wife and young daughters on his phone, Walker recalled, reading from notes she later provided to her company's lawyers to the describing the incident. Then Santos told Walker she had worn the bleep out of her jeans the day before, she said, and asked if she would date him if they were single. I told him that I do have a girlfriend, and he does have a wife. So we don't need to play hypotheticals here. I was pretty blunt. Santos kept attempting to flirt for several minutes and told Walker he would wear me down with his charm, she recalled. Then he pinched her on the hip in full view of other team employees and reporters, she said. Walker felt humiliated, she recalled, and concerned some people who saw what had happened would think she'd welcome the attention. It's stories like this, one after another. There's text messages included from several staffers. Now, the one thing I want to get to here is the we mentioned, Michael, yesterday that the voice of the team, Larry Michael, resigned yesterday.
Yeah, is that addressed in here?
Yeah, there's a section called Voice of the Redskins. So he was a senior VP in charge of content overseeing the club's website and video department. But among his mostly male staff on the video and digital teams, Michael, for years, had become a growing source of discomfort, according to four former employees, because of his penchant for off-color commentary about female colleagues. It was always objectifying. It was always derogatory. I wouldn't even know what to do. I would just shake it off, one former male staffer said. We're all just afraid for our jobs and trying to make it. During training camp of 2017, Michael saw a young woman, Larry Michael, that is, from the sponsorship staff walk by and turn to one of his staffers and commented on her, you can guess, before adding a remark about her social life, the staffer said. He said, you can't mess with her, though, because you know she's bleeped every guy on the team, right? Said this staffer, who afterward mentioned the comment to four colleagues, including a veteran female employee. I was mortified but not surprised, the female employee said. Years earlier, Michael had squeezed this woman's face after a late-night taping of a team program and told her she was so cute, she said. Another comment recalled by two former male employees involved a female colleague of Egyptian descent. He said it looked like she definitely had a little Greek in her because of her lighter skin complexion, as well as a private part. So it's story after story like this. Probably the worst thing about it, Michael, besides all these individual incidents that all sound bad, but the question I ask is, what sort of work environment is it where that's so common? Obviously, things like this happen, unfortunately, but where it's so common that there's so much unwanted attention being thrown at every young woman, it seems, who worked there. Doesn't that tell you something about what the workplace is like and what the leadership at the top is like?
Well, there's also this from the story. Dan Snyder routinely belittled top executives, according to three former members of his executive staff, perhaps most intensely Green, the former sales executive whom Snyder mocked for having been a male cheerleader in college.
Yeah.
After one executive staff meeting, according to one former employee, Green said Snyder had ordered him to do cartwheels for their entertainment. Quote, I've never been in a more hostile, manipulative, passive-aggressive environment, and I worked in politics, said Julia Payne, former assistant press secretary in the Clinton administration, who briefly served as vice president of communications for the team in 2003. Listen, I don't know how much Dan Snyder is going to be implicated in this, but a fish rots from the head. If a workplace is that toxic, the guy who owns the place has to take some responsibility for letting it happen.
I mean, I would argue even more, like even stronger than that. I mean, to me, it's just like, I mean, listen, I'm sure this, I don't think the article is damning enough that he will get pushed out of the league. And I guess that's where I started getting my hopes up. That's where I ended up. Like, I hate to say it, but once I knew that this story was really bad and the kind of things that were being said, now you know and you've accepted that these really bad things have happened, so you start thinking, could this be the end? And I don't think this story is enough to be the end. Could be wrong. Maybe more will come out now.
Because you never know what's happening in the other 31 teams.
Very true. Zion Williamson has left the NBA bubble for a family medical matter. The Pelicans rookie is expected to rejoin the team at a later date after leaving the Walt Disney Resort to, quote, attend to an urgent family medical matter. That's according to David Griffin, the Pelicans EVP of basketball operations. Now, Michael, that's going to mean that upon return, there's going to have to be
quarantine.
Multiple tests and probably a couple of weeks of or a week. How long will they expect him to quarantine?
I think it's at least a week. If there's a negative test, it's at least a week. But if there's a positive test, then that's completely different. And also, it's kind of weird that I believe that the way this thing was set up to have 22 teams battling for the 16 spots is to have involved Zion Williamson in all this. That's how much of a priority he is to the NBA, and there's a chance he might not play in the eight games, and who knows if the Pelicans will get into one of the eight spots in the West. You have no idea. So I hope everything's okay with his family, but you know, once you leave, you have left the bubble and you have to get re-indoctrinated again. It's not like you could just go back in and start to play again.
It's going to be interesting. Have you seen pictures of Zion, by the way?
Yeah.
He looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He looks so jacked. Didn't you? You know what I thought the most interesting thing Kenny said yesterday was?
That's the second season for rookies.
Yeah, had you thought about that?
No, I didn't.
I thought
because
that was
three
really...
They've had 3 months to think about it and how they were played, and now they're much more experienced than they were when the season stopped.
It's fascinating, though. That idea, I hadn't thought of it. It really is like coming back after learning, you know?
That's why he's Kenny the Jet, and you're probably Peter the Tricycle.
Really? It's beneath you. Another high-level prospect has opted to bypass college and go for the G League. Jonathan Kuminga is the latest to make that decision. He cut his list of college options down to Texas Tech, Auburn, Duke, and Kentucky, but then decided the G League will be his next destination.
Peter, with the way the world is right now, we have no idea whatsoever if there's going to be a college season. Why would anybody commit to that? Now, who knows if there'll be a G League season, but what are you committing to the college season for? Now, you could say, well, at least you'd be able to go to college. These guys want to play basketball. So if you're entering a situation where you don't even know if the season is there, and all signs point that it's going to be somewhat affected, then what are you going for? Now, if you're going for school, then go, because then you could be actually able to actually go to classes and concentrate and not have to worry about basketball. But if that's not your intent and that's not the reason you're going, then go to the G League. There's a better chance they'll play.
Better chance they'll play. You're professional. And frankly, even if it wasn't in this situation, Michael, if the school experience isn't a huge deal for you and the education part isn't a huge deal for you, you know you're absolutely going to be a pro player based on what everyone says. It just doesn't necessarily make sense for a lot of people.
And Peter, the way the world is right now, we don't even know if there will be a school experience. Harvard is not having a school experience. You're going to Harvard via a computer. So it's not like you're going to be walking across the quad wearing a tweed jacket. You're not. It's not going to be the experience that players that just go for 1 year talk about and cherish, that it lasts forever. You might not have a school year where you're on campus.
You know what else annoys me a little bit, Michael, about moving back real quick to the bubble? You know what's one thing that irks me about the NBA bubble?
What's that?
That upon arrival, you need 3 negative tests before joining the team. It just seems like almost a wasteful amount of tests.
I don't know. I mean, as many tests as they could have without taking away from the general public. I know a lot of people complaining. You know, somebody tweeted me yesterday. I think one of us had said, you know, there aren't enough tests to go in Florida. Well, there are enough tests. It's just that the turnaround to get the test too long. You get your result in 7 or 8 days, which kind of renders the test useless. But if the NBA has the wherewithal and the ability to do the testing, they should test as much as possible, because there are several false negatives and stuff like that. So you might as well take 3.
So I don't, your logic, I like. My issue isn't the logic. My issue is the how it appears to the people in Florida who aren't able to get tests.
Like, but again, people are saying that you are able to get tests. You're just not able to get it back soon enough.
So as long as there's no test shortage at all, then I'm good with 3 tests being required. But if there's in any way a shortage of tests, it's, while I understand 3 is useful, it doesn't seem like a little bit OD. Like, if you get 2 tests, that's not enough to return?
Well, what Mark Teixeira said earlier, if you get an infection in a bubble, it could really explode because you're in a bubble. So they want to make sure that that's not happening.
It's a good point. You don't want to burst the bubble.
Because the bubble has a hole in it already.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The AAC is going to require coronavirus testing 72 hours before games. Why are we talking about this, though? Because is that even going to happen? The commissioner of the conference said that the league is committed to meeting or exceeding all guidelines and standards recommended by the NCAA and its member institutions in all fall sports, including football. Those recommendations are expected to be in line with the American announcement. The conference's overall operational protocols are still being finalized. It's nice to talk about. I think they're taking such a leap to think that college football is coming back.
Well, I mean, they have to do it. I mean, you have to prepare, if it does come back, to have a protocol in place. But if you just, you know, move along as if it's not going to happen, then all of a sudden things take a turn for the better. You're left, you know, with no plan.
I understand. This is going to be a real controversy. And I know that I'm really stating the obvious, but I've been watching the news every night, and every night the conversation is the same. Different parts of the country trying to determine how you return to school. It's a conversation we were having on our call today. You know, what is the decision making that regular people are going to make about how to, not only you have to worry about the way your kids are being educated, it's twofold. Worrying about, threefold. The kids' safety obviously should be number one. Number two, kids getting properly educated. Number three, what do parents do? What options do parents have, Michael? If your kids stay at home and you have a household where parents are working, what do you do?
It's almost an unsolvable problem that a lot of people are dealing with. And it's four-pronged, too. Got to worry about the teachers. So because, you know, all the data does tell you that for the most part, it doesn't affect children as adversely, but the teachers are older and you got to worry about them. So even if the children have it and they get through it without anything, knock on wood, well, the teachers might not. So there's a lot of things to worry about. Everybody's saying, well, they got to go back to school. Yeah, for the good of the country, if everybody was in school, it would be great, but it's not that easy to just snap your fingers and say, okay, everybody has to be in school. Kids have to be safe, because remember, the kids could get it in school, pass it along each other, be okay, and then they're going home to mommy and daddy, grandpa and grandpa, grandma and grandpa, and then the teachers. So there's a lot of things to consider. This is not an easy fix.
How do you feel about NASCAR having a race where they hosted 20,000 fans? Up to 30,000 were allowed to attend the race yesterday.
And only 20 showed up?
It appeared that they said at least 20,000 were there and socially distanced throughout the stands, making it the largest sporting event in the U.S. since winter.
I'm cool with it. If they're socially distant, people wear a mask, I'm cool with it. It's fine with me. What do you think?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings. If the socially distance, if you were able to socially distance, I mean, listen, I guess you got to give these things a shot. So give them a shot. But there is the possibility that there are going to be real repercussions as a result of it. And I hope they're able to keep an eye on that and have some sort of idea of, you know, how bad the ramifications are. Because if you don't follow up, and you don't find out whether anyone got sick as a result, Michael, it could be doing damage and you're not even quite aware of it.
I just think that they should have one central person that handles all of these decisions, and that should be LSU coach Ed Orgeron. I believe that.
You sure you think he's the guy?
I think he could be the guy. I think he has the sense. I think he has the smarts for it. I think he has delivery to make people believe. Give it to Ed Orgeron.
He seems to have the kids' best interest heart.
Yeah. Opening the schools, whether fans go into sporting events, I think it's Ed. It should be on Ed's plate.
Well, guess what? Give me a little Tiger Watch, shall we?
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today? Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
Day one at the Memorial. The last time I looked, Tiger was even through 10. All right? He ended up improving just a bit. One under for the day.
Wow.
That's five off the pace. Tony Finau, six under. Some of your favorites, Michael. Gary Woodland's four under.
Love the Woodlands.
John Rahm at three under.
Luis Oosterhuizen.
Wow, it's been a long time. Spieth, Jordan Spieth is two under. Cantlay, two under. Patrick Reed, a.k.a. Fat Tiger, one under. Oh, and look, Michael, your favorite. Louis Oosthuizen, even.
Luis Oosterhuizen.
And lefties at even as well, along what? With your man, Dutiful Brooksy. You plan on dialing into the Memorial this weekend?
No, it will not be. We're down to 3% difference between the two of us. Almost 7,000 votes in.
What a
joke. Don is just running away. He's like Secretariat in the Belmont. He never looked back, Peter. From the very beginning, he had a big lead. He's never looked back.
Still at 44?
43 now. You're at 30. I'm at 27, so I'm making a late charge, but there's only 40 minutes left. 35 minutes now.
You're playing dirty, Michael.
How am I playing dirty?
You've turned it into this ridiculous campaign. It's
How
sad.
How do you win elections unless you campaign?
It wasn't an election. It was
it
a poll.
It is an election. It's a vote.
I just want to say, my team will already be filing a protest if you pass me.
Well, you sound like you're just as good a loser as Boog Shambi.
You've got a lot of nerve.
Is that right?
Yeah, you had a lot of nerve. You've done everything to rig this in your favor. And then when I turn around and point what you're doing out,
right.
All of a sudden I'm a bad loser?
You're an awful loser. You haven't even lost yet, and you're making an excuse.
I really hope everyone listening, all of my rosebuds out there.
Who are your rosebuds? What does that mean?
Rosenberg's rosebuds.
Oh, boy.
It's the slang everyone's using.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Proud rosebuds. You haven't seen the shirts?
No. I'd like
oh,
to
yeah.
get one.
There are shirts that say, I'm a proud rosebud. It's got me. It's like me, but I'm a flower. Like my body, especially now that I'm so thin, my body is like the stem of the flower, and my arms are sticking out, and my face is a rosebud.
And that was the name of the hotel at Blanks Creek.
The Rosebud?
The Rosebud Hotel.
Michael, your colleague, Tim McCarver, is opting out of the 2020 season.
I don't blame him.
He's the broadcaster for the Cardinals, but he's going to go ahead and show.
I'm amazed that Bob Uecker is not. I mean, Bob Uecker's had a lot of health issues, and he's in his 80s, and he's going to broadcast the games for the Brewers.
Well, maybe it's just as simple as, you know, at this point in life, this is what he enjoys most, and it's a risk worth taking, I guess.
He loves it. He absolutely loves it.
Now,
he's a real member of that team.
Is there any situation right now in which you wouldn't have, if they wanted you to travel for the team, would you do it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the situation now, I've given a lot of thought to opting out, but I've decided to do it, so I don't think I would travel, no.
You considered opting out even of this local version?
Yeah, I mean, because I think, although I'm not 80, I'm 59, and I have high blood pressure, and although it's certainly normal with medicine, but, you know, when Dr. Fauci was on, says it's still an underlying condition, and I've got two young kids here that I want to see grow up, so, yeah, there's a lot of anxiety and fear, but that's how I am. That's why people aren't voting to hang with me in the quarantine.
But see, now you're getting there. They don't want to hang out with you because you're weird and sort of depressive.
I'm not weird. I am depressive, and I'm sure that everybody has given thought. But, I mean, how would it look if I opted out and John Sterling doesn't opt out, and he's 82?
It's a great point. He would make you look terrible.
Beef tongue.
Right.
Yeah, and he'd be shouting that from the booth.
What other snacks do you like, John?
Hand-churned guacamole.
Anything else?
Almond nut butter.
Okay. I guess that's it.
Vidalia onion.
Well, they're tasty. All right, Michael. Lastly, let's hear from our very own Malika Andrews, who was on the Golic and Wingle vehicle earlier, and she talked about the latest on your favorite, the Narcomania line, a.k.a. the Snitch line.
you hear Rudy Gobert saying that he thinks that it's just a little bit petty and he doesn't really expect to be using it. You hear Dante DiVincenzo with the Bucks saying he understands why it's there. He thinks it's a necessity, but he doesn't really see himself using it. And then you got Doc Rivers out here wild and saying that he's going to be calling it on every team until the Clippers are the only one left. But in all seriousness, I mean, there are signs that are posted all around campus that say, if you see someone who is committing some sort of violation, this is the number that you can call. And also on the back of credentials for every media member, every player, every coach, there is a barcode you can scan in the app to report a violation.
Wow. They really are aggressive with this.
It'd be interesting. What if your teammate was breaking a rule? Would you? I mean, I'd be narking out every team that I'm competing with. Oh, there's LeBron. Look, look, look. He crossed the street for Taco Bell. He's out. Oh, there's Kawhi Leonard. Oh, I saw him talking to somebody who's not in the bubble. Out.
And yet you're the guy who believes that people should vote for you. Can you imagine that? How much time do we have left in our vote?
I'm a lot of fun. And the voting?
Yeah.
30 minutes.
I need a major comeback for my rosebuds.
But you think you're going to catch Don?
Who knows? Anything's possible. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening.
I would love to at least slide past you because it's an accepted fact that people hate you, and I'm losing to you.
And I know you're not going to be happy until you beat me, so. Great. Thank you, by the way.
DJ Juanito said he's supporting you. He said you probably won't win, but Michael K definitely won't win. He's DJ Juanito.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.